Good morning. Happy Father's Day. How many fathers we got in here? A little higher, like raise it like you mean it. Like, okay, they're just making sure you're like, ah. Well, happy Father's Day. I too am a father. Two children, one, as you saw last week, just graduated. And so, woohoo, yes. you know, my daughter's 18. She's graduated, so she's kind of like officially an adult. She's in the house, but she's an adult, and she's embarrassed right now because I'm talking, so don't look that way. However, you know, we try to do as parents, we try to raise these kids, and it's tough. Right? No matter who you are, no matter where you live, you are ingrained with a set of values that you want to impress on your children. And so as you have children, you do what you can to raise them. And as we've tried to raise our children, my daughter specifically, we've tried to do it in a godly way, but there are things we do and things we don't do based upon what we would like to see our daughter become. Knowing the fact that she is who God made her, she has her own personality, she has her own life, but we are given this parenthood from God. So what we do as parents, what Sandy and I have done for many years, is try to protect our kids. We pray for them, we pray with them. We bring them to church. We put them in sports. We put them in school. We try to protect them from outside influences that might be dangerous to them. At the same time, we try to keep them from going into environments that might not be conducive to the lifestyle we have, right? This is nothing new for those of you who have been parents, and those of you who might become new parents soon or might be thinking about that. Those are thought processes that go in as we think about raising kids, because we want them to be fruitful adults at some point, so that the nation and the world is kind of left in the hands of some good people. Some of us might have our eyebrows up when we look at who's taking over the nation soon, and as these kids grow up, but it's our job to raise them. Gardening is it's different, yes, because they're not children, but there's a lot of similarities. When you garden, you get plants specifically to get either something that looks beautiful or something that tastes really good. Right, this is a blueberry plant, and today we're talking about love, so this is going to be a love plant today. It has blueberries or love berries, but you know, if I had this and I was trying to cultivate it, I would do things just as I did for my kids. Right, I would try to create an environment that was conducive to fruit. I would try to keep out the other stuff that takes it away or negates what we're trying. But there's this process of bringing something up in an environment, knowing, check this out, knowing that if we step back and leave it alone, it won't stay as it is. It will just deteriorate. And our lives are kind of like that. We're gonna look this morning, we're gonna look at a bunch of verses, but Galatians talking about the fruit. And we're starting this morning a 9-week series about cultivating fruit in our lives, not strawberries, bananas, blueberries, although many of you like them and you cultivate your body with them, we're talking about spiritual fruit and cultivating it. So if you wouldn't mind standing up as we read God's word, we're going to be in Galatians. If you have a Bible, open it up to that. Sort of midway-ish through the New Testament. If not, I have it right here and we'll read it for us. But I'll read and you can follow along. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Please pray with me. Lord, as we look at your word and as we come to it with different expectations, different distractions this morning, we're all in different spots. I pray, Lord, that we allow you to talk to us. Wherever we're at with you, whatever our beliefs are, may we allow you and the truth of who you are to kind of intersect our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. So great little passage of verses talking about this fruit. But what we want in these 9 weeks is to look at cultivating the fruit. We're going to talk about these fruits, but then cultivating it, you know, bringing it up, nurturing it. But before that, I want to, you know, kind of think about what is love. Before we talk about cultivating it, you know, what is love? If I asked you, you don't have to say it, but if I asked you your opinion of the definition of love, we'd have a gamut. Totally. Some of you would like write a Webster's, like, oh, love means this, right? And some of you would be like, oh, love is the beach on a warm day with my loving whatever next to me, right? You do whatever it is you do that makes you think about love. But we're all different, right? And I wonder what Webster's thinks. We'll talk about that, the world, you and I. I typed out what Webster's says. Love is a strong affection for one another arising out of kinship or personal ties. There is the attraction based on sexual desire, tenderness, affection. Affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interest. Warm attachment, enthusiasm, devotion, unselfish, loyal, benevolent, concern for the good of another. Such as the fatherly concern of God for mankind. Brotherly concern for another, a person's adoration of God. So that's not too bad, right? But I wonder what the world thinks. If I was to ask you to write down what you think the world, or that's even harder, right? Because there's so many cultures in our world. What if I said our society, our nation? What does the world think love is? It's pretty confusing at this point, right? My guess is that the world would probably say, let me do what I want, be when I want, how I want, where I want, and say whatever I want, and you can't argue at all. That's how you would love me, and then I will love you however I want. That's kind of what our society does now, right? Doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what you think truth is, or if there's truth out there, whatever I feel today, even if it's different than yesterday, whatever I want, that's what love is. Me, I wrote mine down. And this is just mine based on Brandonese, right? The way I live, the way I love. Emotion or care for someone in a way that honors God and makes them feel my deep concern for them. But what would yours be? If you think about it, like take a second. If you're married, you have a spouse, what would you ask them? Hey, babe, how would you define my love? They might define your very love different than you do. They might say, your love is fishing and football and me cooking you meals. I don't know. Like, they might say, you know, your love is a beach and a walk and a flower and whatever it is. But we all have this addition, if you will, of love. But if we go to the Creator, the inventor of everything, the inventor of love, what does God say? And in this verse, these verses that we're reading, there's this definition of love, this Greek word agape, agape, right? And we know, we've heard this, most of us. But this is God's biblical definition. To welcome, entertain, be fond of, and love dearly, using that love word again. To have a preference for, well wish for. Regard the welfare of, to take pleasure in a thing. Prize it above other things. To be unwilling to abandon or do without, to welcome, to long for. I think you get it. This is what we're looking at. We're looking at love. And although we have our own definitions, don't take offense to this, but your definition is broken. Your love is broken. Fractured. Mine's fractured. Mine's jacked up. It's based on my childhood, what I dealt with, who loved me, how I interpreted that. Then how I loved them, and then they reacted to that. And then how I grew up, my first love, my second love, all of these things, people that say they love me, the shows I watch on TV, the memes that people send me that say love, whatever it is, it all contributes to this thing inside of us that says what love is. But we got to look to God. We got to look to the one and only. 1 John 4:7 and 8 says this, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not know God, does not love, does not know God, because God is love. God is love. So we get the very definition of love from God. Whether we agree with it or not, I'll just say this again, truth doesn't need our approval. Right? Whether we agree or disagree with truth, it still sits as truth. God is love. So we get our definition of love from God. So the first thing I want us to see, this first kind of point this morning, love is of God and from God. Love is of God and from God. Every amount of love that we have comes from God. Now, it may be warped. Literally, if I put all of our loves, we threw them all in a bucket, right? All of, we just took love out, whatever it looks like, threw it in a bucket, and it was all shades of red, there would be 100 different shades of red in this place. Because it all looks different. But it all comes from God. It is of God and from God. And then again, our growing up, our culture, our decisions shape that. But we have examples from God about what love is, about what it looks like, about what it doesn't look like. Hebrews 6:10, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his mercy and serving saints as you still do." Serving shows love. When we serve other people, give them what they need, help them with what they need, put them above us, before us, put us in subject to them, that's a form of love. Do you serve people? Does your love look like a love of service? And have you been served by someone else merely out of their love? There's some people, a bunch of people yesterday helping someone else move in this church. And I showed up and there was a bunch of people that just loved someone else and said, "We'll help you move." That's just one of the expressions of love. Do you serve other people? 1 Corinthians says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Building up. Do you build up others? Have you ever been built up by anyone? Encouraged, strengthened, complimented, made to feel better? That's a form of love. Does your love look like that? Do you have a love that seeks to make others feel? Do you know anyone in your life? And literally, you're like, man, every time I see that person, I just leave feeling rad. Like, I just leave feeling better. They have something about them that builds me up all the time. I could point you out in here because some of you do it to me. But I won't embarrass you. But that kind of love, I'm sure you've felt it. Do you ever try to cultivate it? 1 John 4:18, this one's a little tricky. "Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear is with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected by love." So there is this thought of, wow, fear is evidence of an imperfect love. So what that shows us is when we are fearful, which most of us are fearful in one way or many ways, one day or all days, but there's an imperfection somehow, somewhere in our love for God and maybe even for others. And one of the many results of that is fear. Any of you ever been afraid? I could be the only one. I've been afraid like once every hour or so. But fear is one of the strongest emotions there is. Unreal. Fear and worry are just super strong. But perfect love casts out all fear. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to this church in Corinth. Somewhere in the Mediterranean, there's a city called Corinth. And the Apostle Paul wrote to that church, and he tells them about love. He gives them an amazing description. We hear it at weddings all the time. Love is patient, love is kind, like, you guys get this. But what Paul was doing in that letter was describing what love should look like in that church. As one of the guys, the leaders of that church, he was saying, this is what your love should look like. This should be a description or maybe even possibly a definition of your love. 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have and deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." What he's saying here, in a sense, is all the stuff we do, if there's no love behind it, it's got no guts. It's got no substance. It's like empty. I'm sure you have all received an empty hug before. know what it feels like, right? When someone's like, hi, 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 hi. You're like, wow, that was just nothing, right? A shirt, some skin, and like, no. And then there's some people that overhug, right? And you're like, dang, calm down on the love. But there are times we feel it. And there's a difference between serving, loving, helping others because I think I should, some reason, as opposed to genuine love. And he goes on to say, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Not only should this be evident at the church in Corinth, it should be evident at the church in West Cyprus, and the church across the street, and the church across the state, and in your household, in my household, anywhere. It should be this type of love. Does your love, would your spouse or your loved one say, oh yeah, my honey's love has all those things? Or would they go, where'd you find this list? We need to figure out this in our love. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. It's a rad description, but is it our description? You see, we can go through life and go, I'm going to love you the way I want. But that person may not receive any love. And you might think, well, that's the way I love, and we're good to go. But love is a form of communication also, right? There is this two-way street. And if no one's receiving or feeling love, you may be deceived that you ain't got no love to give to anybody. Or vice versa. You may be wishing your spouse, God forbid, would give you some love, and they think they're doing it, and you're just feeling unloved. Maybe it's time to have a conversation of what love is. Time to talk to the Lord about what love is. It says, now, faith, hope, and love abide, but these three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. God has given us everything we need. 1 Corinthians tells us that God has enriched us in every way. Everything we need. In Ephesians 1, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. We've been given everything that's needed for godliness. We've been given it. The fruit is there. What do you do with it? Right? Our love plant, we could say, wow, we got love. We got fruit. We got berries. Sweet. Do you leave it alone? Say, I got berries. I got fruit. It's rad. Because if we left this, if we just said, oh yeah, fruit's good, everything's done, I am now complete, we shut the lights off and left this thing to chill, you know what happened? It would probably start to droop. The fruit would shrivel. It would need water. It would need sun, and it would die. It needs continual sustenance, as do we. Therein comes the cultivation. Herein comes our thought of cultivation. 2 Peter 1, just listen to this. Chapter 1, starting in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this area, they will richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you practice these things, so therefore supplement. Supplement is adding, providing, helping with. Right? Some people need supplemental incomes. Some people need supplemental help. Supplemental vitamins, right? Vitamin supplements. It doesn't take your food away. You don't just take a vitamin C supplement and not eat. It's added. So we were supposed to add these things to our faith, and part of that is love. But practice these things. Make them add and increase. Do you try to add and increase your love? Or is it, no, I'm good to go. I can write a book on it now. Everyone, come to me if you want to know what love is. No one's coming to my door. They heard me yell at my son when I was mad. We're all faulty, right? We all need help. so does our love. Therefore, brings us to our next point, with our cultivating. We must intentionally work to cultivate love. I'll say it again. We must intentionally work to cultivate love. You don't accidentally love someone. There's things that you have done that contribute to that. You don't accidentally grow in your love for someone. There's things you do. Now, growth in love is a product of something else. But it doesn't just happen, right? That thing's not just going to keep growing if I leave it alone. My little love plant. That sounds really weird to say. My little love plant. Like, hey, it's not just going to keep growing if I walk away. We must intentionally work to cultivate love. So what does cultivate mean? In my little definition sheet here. Prepare, nurture, protect, devote, till, reap, expect, care for, water, feed, prune, help. Okay, now we're talking, right? If I want this love plant to grow, I got to work the soil a little bit. I got to prepare the soil. I need to feed it. I need to water it. I need to put it in an environment where it gets sun, where bugs can't get it. If the bugs come, I got to flick them off or spray them or whatever. I need to prune it back, which talks about last week, right? I need to keep birds or other animals from doing things that aren't fun in there. I need to keep the enemy out and put this in a good environment. I need to give it water. I need to give it the sun, the S-U-N, to make it grow. What about us? What about our fruit? You could kind of say the exact same thing. We need to cultivate ourselves, the soil of our life. We need to work it. We need to keep out the enemy. If there's bugs that come in and mess with our love and our effectiveness and our fruitfulness, let it go. Hebrews 12, we talked about that last week. Whatever weights and sins that hinder, let them go. What's contaminating your love? Might be what you're watching on TV, what you're listening to in your ears, the things you're watching in movies, the people you're hanging out with. I don't know. But what contaminates your love? What's keeping your fruit from coming? Are you willing to cultivate, to do the work intentionally to make your fruit grow? Ah, to help God grow us. God gives us a growth, but he tells us to abide. We talked about this last week. He tells us to stay and remain with him. If love ain't important to you, it's hard to help you at that point. But if love is important, the greatest of these is love, will you cultivate that love? Will you work the soil? Will you do what's necessary? Ephesians 5:1 gives us a rad example of what to do. How do we cultivate? Well, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. God gave us the example, so imitate him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus loved us so much that he gave up his life for us. Give up our lives for others and for God. I don't think God's saying, hey, I want you all to go out and die. That's not what God's saying. But to give up ourselves for others. That is a humongous form of love that God showed us. He lived it. He didn't just say, hey, here's a book. Go read it. I didn't do any of it. Have it. He lived it. He showed us. He said, in a sense, I'll go first. That's what actually true leadership is. Someone who shows you by doing doesn't just point the finger like a dictator and say, go. He leads and shows the way. And Christ led and showed the way. What did he do? He helped people. He healed people. He loved people. He gave them his time. He gave them his resources. He touched the untouchable. He loved the unlovable. Imitate that. Copycat that. Wear the jersey. Wear the hat. Tattoo it on your forearm. Whatever it takes. Be like Jesus. That bracelet, what would Jesus do? Can kind of get overplayed, but yeah, you know what? And it's kind of like, what would Jesus do? But what would Jesus have you do? Because you ain't Jesus. But hopefully you're a follower of him. What would Jesus have us do? But we got to fight it all the time. See, God sent Jesus. And we learn in Philippians that he gave up his place. He gave up his place in heaven. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So Jesus came to serve, right? Not to be served. He came to serve. And he was obedient. So service and obedience is a form of love. How much do we obey? We talked about this last week too. Go figure how all this stuff works together. It's kind of weird how God connects things in our lives. What does our obedience look like? That cultivates our love. Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Where's your mind? Where is it all day long? I got to snap mine back into place all the time. OCD thrashes my head. I'm an emotional wreck. And I've got to figure out how to get my mind back on the spiritual thing. Said this many times, I wake up all about me. It's all about Brandon, right? I don't have an alarm clock that says, hey, be about yourself. I wake up, it's all me. I want coffee. I want to brush my teeth. I want the dogs to not have to be walked. Doesn't happen. But it's actually about God and other people. I mentioned this to my wife a few weeks ago. I may have said it up here as well, but you know, I keep getting reminded I'm all about me. I keep thinking life's all about me, but it's not. It's about God, it's about other people, loving other people. The number one commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one is love your neighbor as yourself. I'm called to love all of you, and I do. And it's not lip service, I do. But it's easy to get caught up in myself. Colossians talks about putting on love. So how do we cultivate? We put on love, like a garment. That's the wording there. Like when you go to your closet, we've talked about this before, when you go to your closet, you put on a shirt. Put on a shirt that's love. What are you wearing today? Love. Hey, what you wearing to the party? Love. Are you surfing in trunks or a wetsuit? I'm surfing in love. Well, whatever it is, put it on. Just be mindful of it. So when you walk out, hey, I'm carrying love. What does that look like? Let me show you. Hopefully it's service. Cultivated by God. Obedience. Building one another up. Encouraging others. Giving of myself, even if I have to sacrifice what I got. That's a hard one. Right? America, it's all about us. In fact, I was reminded by my wife that we spend more on trash bags every year than like 90% of countries spend on their food. Ooh. We could probably each give a little. We could probably each give a lot. But are you willing to do that? Or is it, no. It's all my stuff. Get away. Right? This is mine. I got it for me. Even though we don't realize that God gave it to us and gave us the ability to get it ourselves. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us stir one another up in love. So stirring other people up, helping other people love. You can help someone play soccer. You can help them in archery. You can help them in music. You can actually help people in love. You can teach them how to love. We're supposed to teach our children how to love. And some of us have a warped sense of love. I, in certain aspects of me, have a warped sense of love. I won't point the finger, but I have to be shown differently what love is. Good thing I have an awesome God that's given me an awesome book with great examples and also direction. But will I cultivate it? Right? Some of you are all into plants. Are you also into love? By the way, if anybody likes this nice love plant and you want it and you want to cultivate it, tell me. It's yours. If not, I'll try to figure it out. But if any of you want to cultivate yourself, cultivate your love, tell me about it. Is it important to you? Do you want to stir these things up? 1 Timothy 6, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to pursue these things, and one of those is love. Pursue it. Run after it. Like you would a title, like you would a degree, like you would a job, like you would a spouse. Pursue love. Last thing I'm going to read, the band can come on up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul again. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. God wants us to abound in love. He's given us the example, right? He's given us a definition. He's given us a description, lots of them, and there's so many more. You can write them for days or read them for days. He's given us the example. He's told us to do it, and he also helps us. He also produces the fruit in us. This fruit that we get, it comes from God while we're hanging out with Jesus. We talked about that last week. Abiding in Christ, God produces the fruit. Will you abide? Will you obey? My friends, no, I can do better than that. My loved ones, and I mean it, loved ones, will you today stir your soil up? Feed it. This one needs the S-U-N, we need the S-O-N. Water it with the word. Keep out the bad, keep in the good. Share, serve, love, give. And thank the Lord for loving us, for forgiving our sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the example of love, because ours is warped. And there is so much good in our love, because it comes from you. But it is warped. There's just edges that have been knocked off, holes that have been punched, cracks that need to be mended by you. This morning, Lord, may we understand that you are the author, the inventor, the originator of love. May we seek you for that and trust that you will bless us with that. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us, sending him to the cross to die for our sins so we have salvation in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.